Matthew chapter 5 in the Word of God this evening. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? Matthew and chapter number 5 in the Word of God tonight. We've been looking at this series here in Matthew chapter number 5 and looking at the Beatitudes and looking really at the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount is where we have been over the last several weeks. And we find ourselves tonight here in Matthew chapter number 5. Would you look with me at verse number 6 this evening, Matthew 5. Let's look at verse number 6. The Bible says this: "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." You and I have been reminded over the last several weeks as Jesus is teaching His disciples that the Beatitudes have been described as attitudes that ought to be in the life of a believer. Someone who has put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is you and I growing in our Savior. As Jesus continued His Sermon on the Mount, His sermon about kingdom living now turns really to the subject of righteousness. And this evening I want to concentrate our time just simply on this subject tonight, a hungry spirit. A hungry spirit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father, for today. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Lord, it was just incredible to see our nurseries full and our young class, young people in classes just overflowing today. And Lord, the visitors that were here. Father, I'm thankful for those who are faithful each and every week. Thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness, not to a church, not to religion, not to a pastor, but to you, God. We want to grow in you. That's why we're here tonight, Lord. Father, for those who are faithful each and every week, who cannot be here in person because of health reasons, but are so faithful to tune in via live stream. Thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness. Lord, as we come to this passage, Lord, I know the time tonight, and I know we've had a long weekend, and Lord, we want to spend our time wisely. It's Lord, of the time that we have, help us, Lord, to once again rightly divide the word of truth. Lord, help us to check up right now. Where is our relationship with you? We can act like we have it all together. We can walk in this place acting like we know it all, or that our marriages are perfect, our kids are perfect. By the way, we can be dressed up tonight, but on the inside, we can be as dead man's bones. We can fool a lot of people around us, but God, we can't fool you. And Father, help our hearts to be in tune tonight. Help us to have that attitude. God, teach me. Let us be as one of those disciples that sat at your feet while you began to teach them. Here we are again, Lord. We're at your feet tonight. Teach us. Lord, teach us what you'd have for us. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Each of us possess items that we would consider as necessities. Something that we have to have. Without this, we can't go on any longer. Without these things, then what is life about? How can we even go on? There's these necessities that we have living in 2021 that really, to be honest with you, they are quite optional in our lives. Many of us believe we can't live without a Keurig machine or perhaps coffee. We got to have coffee. Without coffee, I'm just not doing well. I talked to several who walked in our life group class this morning, and a little bit draggy today, and said, "Hey, you guys okay? You doing all right?" "Yeah, I just hadn't had my coffee yet." We understand that. It's something in our life that we feel like we can't do without. For some of you ladies, maybe it's a curling iron or flat iron or whatever it is, the product that you put in your hair. Man, if I don't have this, I tell you, this is a necessity in my life. For all of us, isn't it weird when we leave and we head out somewhere and we forget our phone? Don't you just almost feel like, I am missing something. Our arms live missing, our legs missing. It's just something not right, man. I'm telling you, without our phone, man, how are we going to live? How are we going to make it? The other day I left church here and I'm on my way home and I just think, there's just something wrong. Something is missing. There's something off. And then I reach and I'm like, oh, for Pete's sake, I forgot dropped my phone. I was in a hurry, but there's no doubt about it. I'm turning around. I'm going back. I got to get my phone. All of us, whether it be Facebook or Instagram or perhaps even sports. There's those things that we feel like, man, we just cannot live without. But in reality, the two great necessities for survival is food and water. There is a hunger and there is a thirst. Have you ever been really hungry before? Sometimes we don't even realize how hungry we are. The other night, Carrie texted and said, "Hey, I'm going to go over. I'm going to get some chips and salsa." Carrie and I are all about chips and salsa. And I said, "Do you want any?" And I just didn't even feel hungry. I said, "No, I'm okay. Don't even worry about me. I'm good." She went and got chips and salsa. My wife knows me so well. She knew as soon as I put one chip in that salsa, it was over. That's not a meal you could just have, or a snack you could just have one. Like, you got to keep going. And I knew. Realize how hungry I was until next thing I know, like, I've eaten half of the chips and salsa, and I'm like, "Oh, babe, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to do that. Like, I ate all your chips and salsa." She's like, "No, I got a large because I knew you were going to do this." Okay. But nonetheless, sometimes you don't even realize physically how hungry you are. But comprehend this, the nature of the spiritual man really is a very interesting study. And we're going to go several verses later. We're going to dive into this a little bit deeper here in chapter number 5. But the spiritual man, now watch, the spiritual man can hear. The Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse number 4, his sheep know his voice. The spiritual man can see. Ephesians 1 says, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened. But we also comprehend that the spiritual man can have a hunger and a thirst. We're not talking about physical, okay, we understand that in anatomy, but the spiritual man, the spirit, understand our spiritual side, it can see and it can hear, but we also now begin to dig into, it can also have a hunger and it can have a thirst. So as we look at the hungry spirit tonight, if you're taking notes, I'd like for you to write this down. Number one, the evidence of spiritual hunger. Number one, the evidence of spiritual hunger. You see, hunger is an evidence of life. Now, I know what time it is, and we knew we were going to take a little bit longer with congratulating those with the trunk or treat. So I'm going to kind of just stick around the podium here for the next couple moments as we build this case for this hunger is an evidence of life. Now, watch very carefully. The unsaved person has an appetite. The unsaved person. A lost soul has an appetite, and that appetite mainly is for a lot of times, a bulk of that is for sin. A spiritual dead person does not have a spiritual appetite. And the appetite that is spiritual may be always in search of something. It's that wanting of something. But when you get saved, when you and I have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, the appetite then begins to change. The appetite no longer is for the things of this world, the things that we search and look for that are going to make us happy in this life. At that moment, when you and I get saved, when you and I become that new creature, those appetites then at that moment, they really begin to change. The sad thing is, in the culture that you and I live in, it's really almost tragic when a Christian has an appetite for everything but Christ. And that is, watch very carefully, that is oftentimes what we're seeing in this culture, is that we have somebody that gets saved, they are a new creature, that they are born again, they are now sealed by the Holy Spirit, they're going to see our Savior face to face one day, but their appetite, although it might be a little bit different, it does become tainted. And what you and I are seeing in our homes, maybe that's why I even took the time to talk about Reagan and Jackson and Brain tonight, is because I am so appreciative of a younger generation that has an appetite for the things of God. We hoop and holler and cheer when they're on a soccer field and we're on the basketball court or volleyball court or cheerleading. But friends, you and I got to comprehend, their biggest cheerleaders ought to be you and I cheering them on when they have an appetite to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We ought to cheer them on, encourage them. Well, you know, I don't know. Boy, the notes just weren't right tonight. Good grief, friend. I'm here to tell you, if a young person gets up to sing, let them sing. If a person gets up to play, let them play. Somebody help me out with that. Amen. An appetite for the things that are good. But you know what we have an appetite for today? It seems like we have an appetite for everything but the things of Christ. If church fits on our schedule, then we'll go. If devotions fits in our schedule, then we'll dig in. If Christ, God, if you fit in the very busy life that I live, okay, then God, I'm going to fit you in. But listen, that's really a tragedy. You and I are a new creature. We're saved. Our appetite has changed. Therefore, you and I ought to have an appetite for the Lord Jesus Christ, the things of God, and the Word of God. But it reminds me oftentimes of the prodigal son that had it made. He had a father taking care of him. He had a great inheritance, but he looks out at the world and, man, it's a big bright world out there, and I gotta have what everybody else has, and I gotta live it up, and I gotta party it up. In fact, he came to his senses in Luke chapter 15 when he desired this world's excitement. But the Bible says in Luke 15 and verse number 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father had bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? He began to think, okay, I'm the one that's starving here. I'm the one that's, man, I came to my senses and realized what the world gave me is nothing. What the world has fed me is not appetizing at all. Here I'm eating with the pigs. No, watch now. If you aren't hungering for His righteousness, you have either never been born spiritually, or you and I are too full of this world. If you and I are not hungering for the things of God, something's wrong. Either A, we have not been saved, so our appetite is really fixed on the things of this world, or we have been saved, but we are so full of self, we're so full of this world, that we don't have a hungering for the things of God. And in the Christian culture of in which we live, I really do honestly feel like it is the latter. We've been saved, but we're so full of the world, the world's entertainment, the world's movies, the world's sports, the world that's out there. And these things aren't necessarily always wrong or bad. The problem is when we get so full of the world, what does the Holy Spirit have to work with? There has to be at times an emptying of ourselves. That's what I love about altar calls. I know maybe some, even in this room, are ready to get rid of altar calls. I'll just be honest with you. As pastor, I'm not ready to get rid of them. You know why? Because it gives us an opportunity to come and to unload self. It's a time to get down and to get things right with God and to talk to Him. Well, I don't find them in the Bible. Okay, understand this, friend. You're not going to find TV in the Bible either, but you're not really ready to throw that out yet, are you? That's some good preaching, I'm just going to say. Came to me, I kind of threw it in there. But right now it's Halloween today, and we saw a family. They're actually here tonight, so I'm not going to pick on them. But they were going in the opposite direction. We're going to church. I'm like, well, there goes so-and-so. I'm like, they're probably going trick-or-treating. but you know, right now it's Halloween, and there's a lot of people out. Our neighborhood's full of people trick-or-treating, and you know what's funny is the only reason you go trick-or-treating is to get candy. Maybe to show off your costume, but you get candy, candy, candy. I feel like over the next, probably 2 months, dentists are going to, we need some dentists in here because we need their tithe really bad, especially around October, November. But you know what? Our kids are so full of candy, candy, candy. It's all very candy, candy. I mean, the candy Willy Wonka ladies here don't have anything on the amount of candy that our kids are bringing in right now. And the funny thing is that they'll get so full of that candy that they don't want to eat anything else. I'm not hungry. I don't want meat. I don't want broccoli. I don't want vegetables. They're full of what? Junk food. The same is true in Christianity. At times, we get so full of the world's junk. God has no room to work on our lives and in our hearts. This hungry spirit is ought to be this appetite for the things of God. You see, what you are is what you eat. The object of spiritual hunger is, watch very carefully, the object of spiritual hunger is righteousness. The Bible puts it this way, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, listen now, don't miss this point. All these things shall be added unto you. The more we are satisfied with His holiness, the more we are dissatisfied with sin. The psalmist said in Psalm 97, ye that love the Lord hate evil. Check it out. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth his souls, the saints. He delivereth them out of the hands of the wicked. You and I, oftentimes you find somebody in this evidence of spiritual hunger. You find somebody who has just been saved. You find somebody who they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. We've all seen this. We've all seen somebody that just gets saved, and at times they're almost confused. They just want to know everything. They just want to know everything. So say, you might lead them to the Lord. They say, man, Deb, is this wrong? Gloria, can I do this? Can I do this? Josh, what do you think about this? And we've all seen these people before, that every little thing they do, can I listen to this on iTunes? Do you think I ought to watch this movie? Do you think? And they're asking every little thing, is this wrong? Is this wrong? Is this wrong? Is this wrong? Because why? At first they're not comprehending what the Word of God and the Holy Spirit is going to do in their life. But watch. The more that you and I hunger for righteousness, the more that you and I hunger for the things of God, the more this Bible is going to reveal to us what is wrong, what is a sin. You're not going to look in here and find anything about Hollywood inside of the Word of God. You're never in the Bible, the canon of Scripture, you're not going to find the word Hollywood. You're not going to find the word movie theater. You're not going to find the word cigarettes or drugs or marijuana. Is this thing? You're not going to find it in the Word of God. Well, does that mean that we just get to partake into anything? What? No, watch out. The more that you and I hunger for the things of God, the more revealing it becomes that you and I are not so focused on, is this wrong? Is this bad? 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 No, we're not robots. We're children of the King of Kings. And the Holy Spirit living inside of you and I then begins to guide our life. Why? Because we're not starving for the things of this world. We're starving for the things of God. And the more that you and I hunger for righteousness, hunger for good, what takes place? God begins to reveal to us those things that are wrong. I remember leading a guy to the Lord once, and I led him to the Lord, and then he was not showing up for church for a while. Like, so finally I give him a call. I'm like, hey man, where you been? You know? And he's like, oh pastor, you know, I'm doing good and I love the Lord and all. And he's like, but you know what it says in the Bible? You know, work hard, play hard. And I'm like, actually, you know, it's not what the Bible says, but I love your spirit, okay? Hey, there's not sure, son. He's not in it. We just start to guess. We start, no, you got to hunger for the things of God. Now watch, parents. Every one of us ought to hunger for the things that are right and righteous. We ought to hunger for being in church. We ought to hunger for singing. I know at times maybe I don't know this song or I don't know this hymn, but to be honest with you, I'm just going to put it this way, and this is not step on anybody's toes, but we ought to want to sing to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I know I won't mention their name, but I had a discussion with somebody this past week. They said, well, I just don't have a good voice. To be honest with you, I'm the same way. I don't think I have a good voice. But you know what? I just want to belt it. You know why? Because the Bible says make a joyful noise. Just give it to the Lord. Just sing to Him. There is the evidence of spiritual hunger, but also there is the blessing of spiritual hunger. I want everybody, if you would, with me to look at Matthew chapter number 5. Look at this passage of Scripture. Now look at verse number 6. Look at what the Bible says. It says this. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst. Now, what are they thirsting for? What are they hungry for? It says this, righteousness, for they shall be filled. You see, there's the evidence of spiritual hunger, but there's also the blessing of spiritual hunger. Once again, we see this word used here, blessed, blessed. Righteousness, watch now, is going to have this kind of connotation that it brings joy in a believer's life. We must be careful, now catch this, we must be careful that we do not equip righteousness with merely a separation from evil. If we just say, okay, then what we got to do is simply we just have to separate. No, it's more than that. We must be careful that we do not equip righteousness merely with separation from evil, because then you and I are not going to really have that satisfaction, that happiness or that joy that God gives us in our life. You say, Pastor, why is that? Listen very carefully. We've heard this over and over. Because life is not all just about a checklist. It's not just all about the do's and the don'ts. I love how God put this, that Jesus, when he sits down with his disciples, he begins to teach them. And here's what he said. He said this, I want you to hunger and I want you to thirst for righteousness. He did not walk up to them and say, okay, before we ever get to hunger and thirst after righteousness, here's what I want to take place in your life. Here's what I want to happen. I want you to not partake in this. Do not do this. Don't be over there. Separate from them. If they come in your life, here's the rule. Here's the standard. Here's the preference. Here's this big circle that you live in. No. God simply took that away. And as Jesus begins to really equip them for living in the day and age that they were living in, watch now. Here's what he said. I want you to hunger and thirst. Why? Because he wanted them to hunger and thirst after the things of God. Why was that? Think about it. It's because the Pharisees in this day lived to show off their righteousness. But true holiness is being filled with his word. Separation, friend, is not the goal. Christ-likeness is the goal. That's why the Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ which liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's the immature Christian that lives a separated life to avoid chastening. It's a mature Christian who lives a righteous life to glorify God. The goal is this. Watch now. The goal is not to sit there and sit back and, okay, here's what we got to do. We got to plan out in 2021. Let's list everything, every channel on YouTube. Let's list every bad thing on Facebook. Let's jump into TikTok and Instagram and CNN and Fox News and these sports and these commercials and these. And we got to, let's go ahead and get out our list of boycotts. Y'all ready for this? Here's where we're going to boycott this week. We're going to boycott this. Watch. Hold on. Time out. We could feel our entire spiritual life trying to separate from everything that's evil, which basically is everywhere. Grocery store, gas station, the cell phone carrier you use. Like, we can go through and mark it all and basically go out, plant a garden, and let's just all live on a big farm somewhere. Or we can hunger and thirst for righteousness. When we hunger and thirst for righteousness, what it does then is it's going to automatically separate those things which are wicked. Because the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding and directing and moving in our life. Oftentimes what happens, and so many of you who know me now, Pastor Foe and Pastor Dan and so many others that have spent time with this pastor, and you know my training, you know my background, you know how long, I'm not a novice, I've been out long enough now to comprehend this, that I appreciate very much the foundation that has been laid for us as Christians. I'm a Baptist through and through. I love our Baptist heritage. I love the Baptist distinctives. I love the fundamentals of the faith. And I mean the real fundamentals of the faith, of the virgin birth and the resurrection of Christ and salvation by faith and faith alone to save us, the sealing of those. Look, I'm a fundamentalist through and through. But what I have seen as I have been in ministry now, Carrie and I, for over the past 16 years, what we've seen is oftentimes what we do as Christians is we really do begin to live this life that is based on just this tiny little circle, as if anyone outside of this circle that doesn't agree with me, then they're just not right with God. But remember, the goal is not separation. The goal is righteousness. When you hunger and thirst for righteousness, the separation is automatically going to come. If this makes sense tonight, say amen. I'm afraid, Pastor Foe, at times what we do is we win somebody to the Lord,
And they're almost scared to become a Christian because they look at a guy's life and it's, you got to do this, you got to do this, you need to change this, you need to be this. And before you know it, we have totally scared this person off. They're wanting to give God back his salvation. I can't do this. It's not up to us. That is the Holy Spirit's job in a person's life. And you and I ought to be the type of people that hunger and thirst to dive into the things of God, to dive into the Word of God. That's why I say so often, I am thankful for the Bible that you and I have that's perfect and inerrant and inspired and it leads and it guides. And check this out, it is alive. If you believe that, say amen tonight. What else do we have if we don't have the Bible? It's a hungering and thirsting for what God gives us. It's a hungering spirit that I want more Jesus. I want more of Him. I want more of His goodness and His grace. I want, look, don't be scared of doctrines. I want more doctrine and I want more truth and I want more of your word and I want more of your in-depth study for myself, study to show myself approved unto God. I want more, more, more. What are we hungering and thirsty for? It's like that chip that I dipped in the salsa. It was so good. Here, give me another one. Another one. Give me another one. Here, give me your bowl. Go get another bowl. Okay. And I'm thirsty. I want it. That's what we ought to be for the things of God. You know what I appreciate about Sunday evening? Is that tonight in this auditorium that is full of people, we are hungry for the things of God. We're hungry for the things of God. Billy Hildebrand, you're here tonight because you're hungry for the things of God. Jones family, you're here tonight because you're hungry for the things of God. McCroney family, you're here tonight because you're on staff. Understand. No, I'm just joking. Because we're hungry. You know I'm joking. We're hungry. We want it. We want to feast on it. But there is a blessing that comes from having this want of righteousness. Watch very carefully. There's rewards for those who live this kind of righteous, hungry, holy life. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 84, verse number 11, for the God, watch now, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. And the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. The word used here in verse number 6 is this, that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. They're going to be satisfied. The psalmist said, as for me, I behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I'm awake with thy likeness. John put it this way, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I give shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Think about that as the author penned that. What Jesus is saying there, the water that I give you is going to satisfy. Truly, the only thing that can satisfy you and I is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's amazing how many those in Christendom today that are just hungry and thirsty. Better car, bigger house, this, better marriage. I just want. I got to have the newest. I got to have the best. And there's just hungering and thirsting. And what Christ says is, you're going to be hungry and thirsty for your whole life on this earth unless you find me. And he's sitting there knocking at a door. He's sitting there inviting that person in. It was Will Rogers that said, half the world is unhappy because it can't have the things that are making the other half unhappy. We spend money we don't have to buy things we don't need to impress people we don't like. That's the life we live. This life of I gotta have. But the Bible says those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, here's what they're going to be. They're going to be filled. Filled. There's a pastor by the name of Wayne Holder. Probably no one in this room knows who Wayne Holder is. Wayne Holder is probably 85 by now, 86, 87, probably in that range. Wayne Holder started Bible Baptist Church in Beckley, West Virginia, the church that I pastored for 10 years. Wayne Holder would sit, Pastor Foe, just about like you and your wife, here faithful every week, and he would sit kind of towards over in this corner over here. You really don't know that name because, to be honest with you, he wasn't on a grand scale, didn't preach out a whole lot. It's not a whole lot in his life that can say, well, I accomplished because I preached on this stage or I wrote this book. Now, listen, watch. There's many who, unfortunately, in a spiritual realm, they're competing for that. My circle, it's my friends. Look where I preach. Look, many are in my church. Here's this man, very humble, him and his wife, Mrs. Holder, raised three kids, I believe it was, and grandkids now. And one of the most sweet-spirited men you'd ever meet in your life. One of, by far, the greatest supporters. And I was 26 at the time, Carrie, I believe you were 26, and I became pastor. Man, you talk about somebody who just helped us all the way along the way, from going from a youth pastor to a pastor, and being more dignified in the pulpit and changing the lingo, and just really mentored me in a great, great way. The amazing thing about Wayne Holder, when you meet him, is that when you would go to his house, it just wasn't this big 4,000-square-foot house, just very modest. The cars they drove, she drove a Honda Accord, he drove a Honda Pilot. It's just regular cars. They didn't take big vacations here. They just, to be honest with you, they were in West Virginia just very satisfied. Now listen, watch. You say, well, Pastor, are you preaching against nice cars and big houses? And no, not at all. Nice vacations? No, not at all. I just know that there are some people in this life that just seem to be satisfied. And I believe that if I had Pastor Holder in here, who is still in ministry, still runs the missions program, they put out Bible After Church puts out about 3 million John and Romans each and every year with beams, and they collate and they send them out all over the world. He works that 5 days a week. Just does he not care? Just constantly. He's always there, always there. What is it about this man, Pastor, that you're so enamored with? Here's why I'm so enamored with him. Because he's just satisfied. He's very happy. You talk to him and his life, and he's okay with who he is. He's okay with what he's done. You know why? Because his Savior satisfies him. I'm not against new cars. I love cars. I do. I won't embarrass him right now, but I preach a message saying one day I'm going to have a 1950s truck, and just one day I just can't wait to get a truck. I don't know if y'all have seen my new truck, but I did get that truck, 1955 Chevy truck today. It's about this big. Somebody gave it to me as a gift for pastor appreciation. I appreciate that. But understand, I'm not against new cars. Carrie and I are so blessed. We built a house this past year. We love our house. It's brand new. It's incredible. But here's what I want. I want to be satisfied in my Savior. Amen. No matter what life stage I'm in, no matter where I'm at on this journey, I don't ever want to reach this apex where I think I've just arrived. No. I want to be satisfied feasting on His holiness and His righteousness. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, that's what I want in my life. There's a lot of visitors who came here today, and I know we have some visitors back this evening. We do welcome you here. For every visitor that walks in these doors, you know what they ought to see in our lives? Is someone who is satisfied. Do we have a hunger and thirst? Yeah. But those who hunger and thirst for the world, they're always miserable. You ever notice that? I got to work harder. Why you got to work harder? I got to get this. I got to do this. I got to. Retirement's coming around the corner. Taxes are going up. All this is going up. All groceries are. It's just like they're just always miserable. You don't want to be around somebody who's satisfied in Christ. They got a smile on their face, joy in their heart. You know why? They realize we're only here for a little while and we're gone. They're hungry for the things of God. And this is what the Bible says. Be hungry for the things of God and you will be filled, satisfied. At the end of that, eating those chips, man, I was full. Sorry, Karen, for stealing so many, but chips, salsa, oh, it's good. But guess what? That's physical. I went to sleep 10 hours later, woke up, Lucky Charms, baby. I was hungry again. Like, I need something. It doesn't last. You get hungry for the things of God, feast on Him, you're going to be filled, satisfied to get through this week. Friend, here's our homework for tonight. Why don't we gather around an altar? Grandmas, grandpas, you ready for this? Moms, dads, teenagers, every young kid in here, I want you to think about this. Why don't we get around an altar tonight and just say this, God, I want to be hungry for You. I want to be hungry for the things of God. What if dad's for a moment? What if mom's for a moment? We just got our families together and we just gathered up here as families, as individuals tonight and just said, God, when the world is hungry for the pennant, the Atlanta Braves to be playing tonight, as the whole world is hungry for the Super Bowl, as the whole world is hungry for the national championship, as the whole world is hungry for a bigger house, a better car, a bigger bed, the newest computer, the newest guy, while they're hungry for that and will never be satisfied, God, may we be hungry for you this week. Hungry for souls. Hungry for your holiness. Hungry for who you are. God, fill me tonight.